What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. As usual, I'm Kyle Corbliss, and today I'm really excited because I'm getting to sit down with someone who I just think is phenomenal. Caroline's put on my radar, not too long ago at this point, but I could be your number one fan. I'm not going to lie. So I'm really excited to hang out with you today and talk to you a little bit. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. This last week I spent some time in the mountains hiking, and that always resets me. I've got new music out, which just feels like such an exhale of years of work. And I'm excited to be talking to you. Good stuff going on.
Well, the other two things are pretty cool. I might be the lamest of the three, but maybe by the end I'll change your mind a little bit. So you mentioned the music. I'm gonna get there and we're gonna break all that down. But kind of how I want to start is for anyone who may not know you or maybe listening to me for the first time, but you know, kind of wants to connect with other artists and other songwriters. For anyone who might be listening, what's a little bit about you? Just like a little backstory, nothing too crazy. Just a little bit about you, and then we'll get rolling into the rest of the good stuff.
Totally. Well, my name's Caroline Kidd, and I'm originally from Iowa, from a town called Waukee, which is outside of Des Moines. I grew up there, and I was always dreaming of, living a life full of adventure, and ended up moving out to Oregon, where I found some of that adventure and lived there for 6 years. And then realized that I had a song in my heart and moved to Nashville to try to pursue it and figure out who I am as an artist. Wasn't sure what that was going to look like, but moved here 6.5 years ago and started, just trying to figure out what it meant to be an artist, what it meant to be a Nashville artist, learning about country music and the industry and all that good stuff. So, I've bopped around a few places, but as far as who I am as a person is, somebody who's kind of like hopelessly romantic. I also love adventure and traveling and my friends. And that's kind of the stuff that fills up my songs as well.
Yeah, I love it. So you mentioned that you grew up in Iowa and that's where you're from. And just a little side note here, I'm going to shout out my dad. My dad, I'm from Northern New Jersey. And so very different from Iowa, but, my dad travels to Des Moines a lot.
And he
talks about how great it is every time he comes home. And I mean, I've never been there. So I'll take your word for it if you agree. But he loves it. And for the longest time, wanted my sister to go to college at the University of Iowa and was just really gung-ho about Iowa. Honestly, I have no idea why. I'm sure it's a great place, but the guy loves Des Moines, Iowa. So, I mean, there you go. I guess Iowa's a great place.
It's special. It's kind of a well-kept secret. Yeah. I think the people are what make it so special. But it was a wonderful place to grow up. I had a very idyllic childhood. Lemonade stands and summer camps and, football games on Friday nights. I mean, you name it. It was like right out of a storybook. And I think that's a really beautiful lifestyle that you can have in Des Moines, Iowa. And they've got a lot of cool things that are popping up there too, because, millennials are figuring it out. There's a lot of new breweries out there. And they've got a music scene that's growing, which is really cool because the music programs are awesome in the schools. So there's a lot of good things to say about Iowa, and it's still home. My folks are still there. My room is still in pristine condition from the day that I left many years ago. So Iowa is a special touchstone.
That's awesome. I want to go one day. I think it's really cool. And I this is, everyone probably says this, I'm a huge like movie fan, but I'm also a huge like late 90s, mid 80s, early 2000s baseball sports movie fan.
Okay.
So I know where this is going, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I actually also work for the MLB Network. So I love Field of Dreams. So like, I'm like, okay. Like Dyersville, Iowa seems kind of like a place where I should just go once in my life and just be like, boom. But
I have a pilgrimage for sure.
Right?
If you do go, you should go and time it all so that you can go to the Iowa State Fair.
Okay.
It's a big deal. It's like one of the top five state fairs in the country. And I mean, you can eat everything on a stick. Okay. They usually have some pretty good country acts that roll through as well. Awesome. So, yeah, I mean, you can just put on 10 pounds, listen to some great music, play some carnival games, and get a real taste of Iowa.
That sounds like a fantastic time.
Yeah, I think you should do it.
What is the weirdest thing you've eaten on a stick at this Iowa fair?
Probably.
Come on, there's got to be some weird stuff.
Chocolate covered bacon, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a little odd. Chocolate covered bacon, is that good?
It tasted like it is. You know what I mean? Like, okay. It would elevate me to like a new stratosphere of bacon experience. But you know, it's a little sweet, it's a little salty, and it'll.
All right, so you know exactly what you're getting. It's not gonna blow your mind.
No, it just is exactly what it is.
All right. I mean, listen. sounds like a time to me. I'm a bacon fan, I'm a chocolate fan, you know, mix them together. I don't know how that would work out, but it's worth a shot. Why not? Why not? So that's cool. I gotta go to Iowa. I think I do. And there's a lot of places in this country I need to go to. And one day we'll get there. We'll get there one day. So you mentioned something that was made the antennas on my head poke up a little bit. You said, what does it mean to be a Nashville artist? And that's kind of an interesting conversation. It's kind of this thing that I think about. It's you know, it's one thing to play music in New York City, or one thing to play music in LA, right? Or, you know, wherever, but Texas, wherever you want to go. But it's another thing to be a Nashville artist because of the fact that it is such a melting pot for so many different types of people, right? And it's kind of an interesting thing. Is that when you're approaching that, you say, hey, I want to move to Nashville and go and do this music thing. How scary of a thought is that, especially because it's Nashville, Tennessee?
Well,
or is it not scary?
I'll tell you what made me, I kind of had an aha moment with it, because I think it's very intimidating to hear that Nashville is Music City, and everybody says, you know, I've heard people say it's where dreams go to die. I sat on a plane, sat next to a guy on a plane that told me that once, and because he was leaving Nashville. It was the only time that I'd ever come to Nashville, and it was maybe 5 years earlier, and I was like, that sounds terrible. I love music, I love singing, I'd love to do it, but I don't want to go send my dreams on a one-way ticket to never return. But I came to visit some buddies who lived here, you know, 7 years ago now. And we went to Jed's open mic night back when Lightning 100 used to sponsor that round, which I don't think they do that anymore. But it was an open mic on a patio in West End. And we just went to watch. And I thought it was going to be, you know, just kind of like an amazing talent show of all of Nashville's finest. And what I was very comforted and inspired by was that it was a real grab bag of different types of artists. It felt like I was eating jelly beans. Like, you just, no two acts were the same flavor. You know, not everybody was totally polished. Some people were incredible. Some people are incredible at one thing, like guitar, but maybe they weren't as strong vocally. There was an old couple that was probably in their 60s wearing matching, you know, white New Balance shoes that were like singing as a duo together. There was like one like Rastafarian guy that was like doing some cool percussive stuff on his guitar. And it just became clear to me as each person got up there and knew what they were doing. They felt, each person kind of had this air of being comfortable, and they were practicing, and they were well received by the audience. Everyone was getting, you know, everyone was applauding them, and you could tell they were there to work on their craft, and it made the idea of living in Music City feel so much more reasonable, because you didn't have to be the best person or the worst person at open mic night. If you were at that open mic night, you were doing music. You know, I think sometimes from the outside, people can forget that musicians are people who are making music. It's not just people that are making good music. It's literally anybody who's making music. You can be a musician and be, you know, an absolute, you know, ear sore. But that night at Jed's really changed my mind. I thought, you know what? I would love to just be up there on that stage. I would love to be working the circuit and figuring it out. And I think the seeing the community element in real life was so comforting to me that I wish that more people that were thinking about, you know, pursuing their dreams could see that.
Yeah, I that's a great point. And I, cause like, you know, there's, I don't know, for me, like for when I look at Nashville from the outside in, it seems like such a, what is the weird metaphor I'm going to throw here, but I'm probably not going to remember. So seems like such a big pond, right? And then, but everyone's so like close knit and everyone kind of has like their own little thing going on, whatever. But the one thing, and at first, that's all I thought it was, right? Like I thought that it was like these same groups of people that were just doing it and there wasn't that many people doing other things. But as time went on, I realized that there's really just so much music there to begin with. And to, you know, no matter what, if you were born somewhere in Tennessee, but you have no love for country music in the slightest bit or any variation of country music in the slightest bit, doesn't mean you can't go to Nashville and play alternative or play punk, right? Like you can do that because that stuff's there. I mean, it's there. You just kind of got to find it, right? And, you know, I think it's cool that you had that moment where you said like, I want to try this. I want to dip my toes in all these places and see what happens, right? So I think that's awesome. And for me, like, I'd be like, well, I don't know if I can. And I commend everyone that says that they can and they're gonna do it and they're gonna give it, you know, the best foot forward and just let it happen and let the songs do the talking. And I think that's the best part is that, you know, that you are all people with a common goal, but kind of doing it your own way, right? That's what I think.
Yeah, that's, I think you touched on it there, like we all have a common goal. That's one thing that I find more comforting as time goes on. You know, the older I get and the more that I realize how challenging like making adult relationships are, you know, once people get out of college and they go to working world, maybe they start to have families. You know, the thing that's really amazing about the music community here in Nashville is that we all have a sense of understanding.
Yeah.
And if we can see past our own, you know, selfish goals of getting number ones, because not everybody can get a number one, like you can find some really incredible relationships here that make you feel more capable of reaching your own personal creative goals. Yeah. And that's part of it too, that I think is special, and it's hard to articulate sometimes when we're so busy looking at all the shiny stuff.
Right. And I you're 100% correct. And it always goes back to my saying of like, you don't necessarily go to do music because you're the only thing you want to do is have a number one. I mean, sure. Like, of course, everyone would like a number one. I mean, that's just the inevitable. But I mean, if you're doing it, and you're saying, okay, in 5 years, if I don't have a number one, I'm done. Then you're doing it for the totally wrong reasons. I mean, there's just no way that is a great approach to it. And I mean, I think that goes into a lot of aspects in life. You know, just in general, it's like if you have a goal, hit that goal, but like it doesn't always mean that's going to happen overnight. So, I think you're absolutely right, and I think, you know, Nashville's a great town to kind of, you know, find yourself and find that sound that you're looking for. Maybe, when you were in college, you were listening to something totally different than you are now. And whatever you're listening to now influences that sound with a little bit of what you're influencing or listening to then. And I think that's great. It really gives you the opportunity to just kind of find the sound that you're looking for and, you know, play around with it a little bit, because, you know, it's not all going to happen overnight. So it's, I don't know. I think that whole aspect of this town is cool, and music in general. That's why I think I love music. So yeah, that's my little rant on that. my little travel along the road there. But yeah, I think that's great. I do. So I want to, break down just kind of your process is probably not even the word, but like you said, you've been in Nashville for 6 years or so, and you know, you just put your first song out off this project last week, right? Yeah, I think I'm getting my weeks all messed up. Last week. And then a new one came out today as of recording here. And if you're listening now, there's some exciting stuff coming next week too. So, and if you're listening at the moment, it's probably out. So we're going to talk about all that, but I want to start with Wyoming and why that was your first song to jumpstart this this whole project here. And I just think it's great, and it's got such a nice tone to it, and it's got that Americana feel that I love, and I just think it's great. So I just want you to talk about it.
Thanks so much. Wyoming was one of the first songs I wrote when I got a guitar. Like, when I planned to move to Nashville was was, I kind of feel like I came here on a shoestring. I had no money. I got a guitar. I asked for a guitar for Christmas, and then I moved down and slept on my buddy's couch for a couple of weeks before I figured out where I was going to live and where I was going to work. But I had never really played before, and I'd never really written. I just knew that I wanted to do it. So it took me a little while to kind of get started, but I knew that I wanted to play one of those open mics, you know, like at Jed's. So I needed to write a couple songs. And I think Wyoming was like my second attempt at writing a song. So, but it isn't in the form that it is today. It's matured a lot. I don't think it would be, it really wasn't ready back then. But the, you know, the hook, I'm not going to Wyoming, that like has never changed. And the verses have pretty much stayed the same as well. You know, the choruses have changed. I've gotten some feedback. The bridges changed. Some of the chords changed, blah, blah. But this song kind of became like the putty that I was able to start, you know, getting out there and telling people who I was with. So I, you know, started playing it out at open mics. And then when I got like my first writer's round and stuff, like I played it out, and it just seemed to be the song that kept getting the most feedback. People would say, I really like the Wyoming song. And I was like, wow, you know, I used it. I needed a tool to get out there and play stuff for Nashville. I didn't know that it was going to be one that was going to kind of stand the test of time, but it did. So yeah, I mean, it's a dated love story. It's, you know, I'm not even that heartbroken. It's kind of a heartbreaking song, you know, like this guy was, we were supposed to see each other and then we didn't and whatever. But like, I don't, it was just such a fun, it came from a fun season. It's a romance I love to keep on a shelf. I'm like proud that I had those fun adventures, you know, while I'm young and elastic and, you know, can, but, yeah, I feel like I'm trailing off, but it was, you know, it came from a real place. I had a real love story. I used that to build a song that I could take out and explore Nashville with. Yeah. The song had more, got a little bit more of a life of its own than I anticipated. And so I just kept working on it. And so it felt like the natural first release for me in this Caroline Kidd project and from this EP.
Yeah, I think it's great. And it's kind of cool that it's, I mean, what is it, a 6-year-old song at this point? Yeah. So like, that's kind of cool. It's had a lot of time to marinate, and it's not one of those things that, and I'm not dogging anyone that does it this way, before I have people shooting me text saying, well, that's not bad, whatever. But it is kind of cool that, you know, you didn't write the song, throw it on TikTok, and then it blow up, and then you just put it out like in 2 weeks, right? It's kind of cool that you wrote it, let it marinate, went back at it, looked at it again, looked at it a third time, a fourth time, maybe a 10th time, and, you know, like rewrote some stuff and changed some stuff up and, you know, kind of just made it like this little like labor love project that you were going to perfect before you decided to show it to the world. You know, I just think that it's awesome that you spent that much time on a song you really cared about and, you know, you really wanted the world to hear the best version of it. I think that's great. And I love the chorus, and I think I love everything about it. Just your tone in it is just, it's beautiful. And it's like one of those songs that, you know, I was driving yesterday and we're going to talk about this whole project, but I was listening to it and I was like, this is a great way to kind of put this project together. Like, this is a great way to just kind of, you know, they always say like, when you put songs in a project and you know, you can't always just come out firing and then just keep firing. You have to have something to kind of bring it down. And I think that's a great way to pump the brakes a little bit and be like, okay, well, now this is the side of Caroline, right? Like, I think that's awesome. So I love it. And if you're listening now and you haven't heard it yet, go listen to it and go share it with, you know, all your friends, because it's great. It's great. And if you're like me and you're kind of a hopeless romantic, you'll really like this song. So, I don't know. I'm a love song guy. I'm a love song guy and I'm a sad song guy. There's nothing wrong with it, right?
Listen, I think most people who are in and around country music or have any sort of palate for it have, you know, a little bit of a hopeless romantic in them
too. I think so. I think so. I mean, listen, it's a dying art. it's a little bit of dying art, but no, it's totally true. I always have this conversation. It's like, I could be the happiest ever. I could be going to somewhere so fun, and I would rather have my windows down listening to some of the saddest music and sing my heart out. Not that I want anyone to hear me singing my heart out, trust me, but I'd rather listen to sad music and sing my heart out than rock out. I mean, I guess it depends on the day, but for the most part, 9 times out of 10, I'm listening to something pretty sad. I think that's great.
I love being in my feels, you know, right? you have to work through them and find new colors in there. And
yeah,
you know, the more comfortable you can get with sadness, the more, you know, beauty I think that you can see in the world.
Yeah.
Because everything has a life cycle. And, you know, the bitter part is important.
So. Exactly. I agree. And it's funny because, like, I feel like and this is probably something that, I mean, I know this is what a lot of people say, but for me, like, I sometimes struggle with, like, getting that, like, trying to figure out what I'm feeling in terms of, like, you know, sadness and whatever else I might be feeling. But I sometimes struggle, and music really pulls that out of me, as I'm sure it does for a lot of people. But for me, it really, without saying things, I can just feel it by hearing. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So for me, it's kind of like a therapeutic thing. But I mean, that being said, sometimes when I'm really, like, down in the dumps, I just want to listen to something that's going to put me in a good mood and not make me think about anything else. But I mean, I guess it just kind of depends on how you're feeling on the day, right? So,
Absolutely. So we have different playlists.
That's right. Although I gotta tell you, I'm really bad at making playlists. So if you have any suggestions about how I can make a good playlist, I'd really appreciate it. Cause I did it once, and I tell this story all the time, but I made a playlist that was 49 hours long because I couldn't decipher what I didn't want on a playlist.
Gosh, 49 hours? How many songs was that?
It's a few hundred. I mean, yeah. Easy. I could probably tell you if I saw it, but yeah, it's pretty long. I like posted something on, like, TikTok. It was like a stupid video of, like, what I liked listening to as of, like, the last week or whatever it was. And someone was like, hey, post your playlist. And I was like, oh, I don't really have one of those because I am really indecisive, but I can make one. So I made one. And that's what I made. That is actually what it took me a very long time, obviously, because that's about half of my music. So, like, probably less than half, honestly. But I had a really hard time. Like, let's say I was to put one song off an album. I was like, I can't have this song without this song. So I just put the whole album. So mm-hmm. It was just like, it was so bad. It's terrible.
Hey, whatever works. I'm no playlist wizard. I mean, I'll get too caught up in sentimental songs, and sure. Then I'll go to put it on with someone else, and they'll be like, these songs don't go together. What is this? Turn this off. Change the song. You know. So I don't know. I think I'm a little bit too, I associate songs, like, with memories and stuff. And so I don't know if that makes for a great playlist, but I'm not trying to be a DJ.
Exactly. What is your favorite playlist? Like, if you had to pick a playlist for, you know, whatever, you know, scenario you're in, what is your favorite one to play? And, like, what's on there that I can, like, get a deep dive into your brain about what you're listening to?
Oh, a deep dive in my brain. These are a few different questions.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I like being, you know, served up a playlist.
Okay.
Like, I don't know everything that's coming. Like, I want to hear some new stuff. I want to hear a little bit of, you know, older stuff. So, like, I love Spotify playlists.
Cool.
And I like that they're curated, and I spend a lot of time trying to get a sense of different artists that go together, and I like listening for trends and things like that. So that's fun if I want to be an active listener. If I'm cleaning my house, I'll probably listen to the Mint playlist, which is, like, all, like, poppy house music.
Cool.
Kind of a wild card. But if I want to really be in my feels, I'll probably listen to my favorite artist of all time, which is Paolo Nutini.
Okay.
Not even a country guy. He's like a, he's kind of more on like the pop rock Euro scene. He
wow.
went dark for many years, like 7 years, and then finally came out with an album this summer, and I've been listening to it.
Now that's a curveball. I wasn't ready for that one.
Yeah.
Give me a curve on that one.
But if it's not, I mean, if it's not him, it's country. Yeah. Like a little well, Miranda Lambert.
So. I just saw Miranda in concert a few months ago. It was awesome. It was great.
Of course it was awesome.
I mean, I didn't expect it not to be awesome. I mean, I totally expected it to be absolute kick ass, but I, it was great. I loved it. And, she's the best. I think she rocks. But I mean, don't we all kind of have those artists that like are definitely curveballs? Like I 100% do, because I obviously listen to a lot of country music and I listen to a lot of rock music. Right. Mm-hmm. And my friends always like to tell me, Kyle, every time I step into your car, I feel like I'm listening to a song for the first time, because I very rarely replay songs, you know, like within, like I'll listen to a song a couple of times, but like when I'm in the car, usually I just hit shuffle and I just let it go through. And I have so much music that like the odds of someone hearing the same song back to back within 24 hours is probably pretty slim. They're like, yeah, like I always hear like all this different stuff, but then they'll come in and I'll be like, listen, cause I really like one of my like sleepers, I really like jazz and like things like jazz in the terms of, I don't even know if you consider jazz, but like Sinatra and Dean Martin. You know, classics. Like people like that, like the classics. Right. And I really like Etta James and Ella Fitzgerald and Sam Cooke. And I mean, like obviously modern day, like I love Michael Bublé too. So like, those are like people that I have in this little realm that I listen to a lot, but probably not around other people. Cause it's not like one of the, like, I'm not going to throw on like That's Amore with like my friends in the car. Like, that's just like kind of odd, or like, you know what I mean? But like, I'm not going to throw on like Etta James's At Last. Like I'm just not going to do that, but I think it's great. You know what I mean?
Hopeless romantic side coming out.
Yeah. But like, I love that stuff. And like, you know, like my grandparents on both sides of my family were really influenced by that stuff. So like, that's kind of, I don't know, like, and I'm not saying I ever really listened to that with them, but it was just kind of this thing that eventually I got an ear for. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like my dad doesn't listen to that stuff, but I do. And I just think that side of things is really cool. And that's my little side thing, but it's cool because like I take things from places like that, and I'm sure you do too, and like different artists, and you can pull it into, you know, different feelings. I'm sure that helps your songwriting, being able to listen to so many different artists and so many different genres of music, right? I'm sure that it really helps your songwriting and what you're listening to, because you have this base of what country music and Americana music and things like that is, right? But then you have you know, all these other influences that you're listening to. I'm sure it's
absolutely awesome. It's like cooking. You know, I don't eat the same, you know, same cuisine for every meal.
I might, because I can't cook, but you.
I think you have to keep a balanced diet musically, as well as, you know, for your own health.
Yeah. What is something that you're loving right now, project wise? Like, what are you listening to and you find yourself going back to? It could be anyone. It doesn't matter who it is. But what do you find yourself going back to and listening?
You know what I've absolutely burnt out this summer? I know that my Spotify Wrapped is just going to be a big old picture of this, but the Marfa tapes just took my breath away the first time I heard it. Especially the song I Don't Like It.
Yeah.
How tender and playful and yet meaningful. Anyway, just, I love that project. I mean, I guess for anyone who's listening who hasn't listened to it, it's like a songwriter album that Miranda Lambert and Jack Ingram and, oh my gosh,
John Randall.
Yes, yes. I think they made a documentary, which I haven't seen.
Should watch it. It's great.
I know, it's gonna melt my heart. But they basically recorded these songs acoustic style with very little production, and you just get so much of the heart of songwriting out of that album. And it just, when the first time I heard it, I just felt like I was able to, like, I felt like I found something inside of myself. And I was like, that's what really good music does, is it yeah. makes you recognize yourself when you hear it, even though it has nothing to do with you.
Absolutely.
And I just, I've listened to that album so much.
It's one of my favorites. It really is. It's, and I love, I'm a huge songwriter fan. So I think Jack Ingram and John Randall are some of the best, but, and obviously Miranda as well, but I am a pretty big Miranda Lambert fan, and, that the Marfa tapes are, you can ask me any day of the week, I will tell you the Marfa tapes is the best thing that she's ever put out. I really believe that, because I think it's raw and it's just phenomenal. You know what I mean? Like there's songs on there where you can hear the plane fly overhead. Right. Mm-hmm. That's like where they're, because they're like sitting on in like in a field playing some of these songs. So you can hear like a plane flying over, or like they make mistakes and they like chuckle in the middle of the songs. And I just think it's so cool because it's just so, the truest form of music. They basically just propped a phone up. I mean, obviously they had some probably pretty expensive cameras going around there and catching their sound. But if you're listening to it, they told you like, hey, we just put a phone in the middle of a, in the middle of us, and we all sat around the phone and sang. Like, you would believe that, because that's what it sounds like. I mean,
right. And I think it, oh yeah. And I think it's the kind of, it's a side of this songwriter experience that so many country music fans miss out on. Like, yeah. Even when I think about, like, when I heard, she put a couple of those songs on her Palomino record. Good. And I remember I heard those after I had heard the ones on the Marfa tapes. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, wow, I can't believe that this, you know, this 12 out of 10 production level is coming in second place to me, to this raw, yeah, right. You know, this raw back road Texas recording job that they did. Yeah. And I just thought, wow, I hope that I can put something out like that sometime, just to experiment, because that, those moments that they share in that album are the kind of things that I feel like I share with my co-writers, yeah. or that I experience when I go to writer's rounds. And that's the magic of being in this business.
Totally. Because if you think about it, right, like, you know, you're kind of just getting started. At some point, Miranda Lambert, Jack Ingram, and John Aranda were just getting started. And what you're feeling is probably what they still feel.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool to think about. And, just to go off what you said, I believe, if I'm correct, I could be wrong, but In His Arms and Geraldine were the two off. I think there might be more, but there were definitely those two were on the Palomino record from the Marfa tapes. So for anyone who wants to listen to either of those, I recommend the Marfa tapes. I think it's fantastic, but you know, don't take my word for it. Take Caroline's, because it's better.
I'm so glad we got to nerd out over that.
Yeah, right? I want to buy it on vinyl. I haven't done it yet, and I really want it on vinyl, because I think it'd be great on vinyl. I think it'd be so cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just another record that I don't have room for, but I'm probably going to buy. So, yeah, there's that. But, no, I just think it's great, and I love the rawness of it, and, you know, it's pretty cool. But that documentary is awesome, and I recommend you go watch. It's not that long. It's actually fairly on the shorter side. I think it might be on, like, Amazon Prime or something, but it's cool because they show you how it was all made and whatever else. So enough geeking on that, because we can go forever on that. But I want to talk about the song that came out today, and then if you don't mind, I would love to talk about the rest of this project. Caroline has a project coming out as of today. It's going to be out next week, and if you're listening to this now, go listen to it, because it's out. So it's great. I've listened to it a couple times already. I think it's awesome. And you know, if you're looking for for someone new to listen to, this is absolutely where you should go. The song that came out today is called Static, and it is in the middle of this 1, 2, 3, 6 song project. Am I correct? Can I count?
Mm-hmm.
All right, yep. I can count. A college degree is going somewhere. I can count. Why this song now, and then why do it like this? Like, you know, like what we were talking about, like, you know, you put Wyoming out after 6 years. So then you're putting Wyoming out, Static, and then a week after, you know, all the rest of the songs. So what is your thought process? I think it's great. I think it's really a really good strategy, but why wait so long and then just hit us all with it?
I This project for me, I know there's a lot of ways to, my funnel's getting full. Let me organize my thoughts. I really want to get this thing out in the world. I want to tell people who I am. And I have really, I felt like the happy medium between doing the one single every other month, or once a month, and the just put the project out and see how it does kind of thing was to do what I'd seen some artists do, which is kind of progressively release their songs.
Yeah.
That's the game that I'm kind of playing with right now, is releasing Weather and then releasing Static, or not Weather, Wyoming, and then releasing Wyoming plus Static, and then next week it'll be Wyoming and Static and Weather. Spoiler. Cool. And then the full project will come out. So I just wanted to kind of do a slow drip to start to introduce people to the songs in a way that I felt like I'd curated the experience for them, but also that I wasn't, you know, having people almost forget about my music before the big reveal. So I don't know, you know, it's not super scientific, but yeah.
It makes sense. It makes sense, right? I mean, like that's definitely a good plan. And I just realized I botched my days. I'm about a week ahead of myself. So I think that it's a great plan. I think that it's important to kind of, the slow drip is great, right? Because I think the common thing with music, and I don't know if I can't decide if I like it this way or not. I think I don't, but I'm not sure. It's always like an artist puts out a full project, right? And then like 2, 3, 4 weeks later, you see people saying like, when are you putting more music out? When are you doing this? When are you doing that? Right. And it's like, one, it just doesn't make sense if you want to have people hear your songs. Right. You know, you could be the biggest name ever, but it does not make sense to put a project out and then a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months later, put another one out, because you're going to lose songs you care about in there. But you know, I do think it's important to, you know, kind of slowly introduce, and then say, okay, here's me, right? Because they build a relationship with these three songs. And then you say, okay, here's three more. And then they can take these three songs and say, wow, these three songs are really important to the rest of this project. So I think that it's a great way to do it. And as someone who really like analyzes in terms of what they're listening to, and, you know, like, I'll go out and say, like, if I listen to a single and then I go ahead and listen to an entire project, you know, I don't know if I will 100% get it the first time. I'm going to have to listen all the way through, just because I got a lot of air in this head and not a lot of smarts. So, I mean, you know, it's just something I got to do. But no, I think that it's great. I think it's a great strategy. And I'm excited for people to hear you and hear your story and hear what you want to say and how you want to portray it. And you know, I'm happy that you got to this point where you can put these songs out and say like, okay, here's me, and I love it. So congratulations. I'm really excited for everyone to hear this. And my goal is to know every word to all six songs before the whole thing comes out. And you can hold me to that one.
Awesome. Yes.
You can hold me to it, but it's going to be great. I'm excited.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm super pumped to put this out. You know, it's, the project is entirely songs that I've written myself. And this is also, I really wanted to have a project that was integral to what my vision as an artist is and as a writer before I get caught up in the game. Like, you know, there's a lot of ways to play the commercial country game these days, you know, figuring out your release schedule or trying to write with the coolest, bestest people, or, you know, trying to fit a formula of, you know, whiskey and dirt roads. And I just, you know, I love show business. I love entertaining. I love putting on, you know, putting on shows and performing and all that good stuff. And I hope that there's a long road ahead of that, ahead of me for that. But before I, you know, really pump the gas on trying to, you know, chase the lights, I wanted to make sure that my voice was at least immortalized from this time, because I don't want to forget what it means to start. I don't want to forget what it means to like, you know, be a songwriter that doesn't know how to write a song, but still has something on your heart. Cause I think that that kind of keeps you grounded throughout the whole process. So it's a bit of a time capsule for me, this project. It means a lot that you like it, because I didn't really care if people liked this one. I had to do this just so I felt like I was at least, you know, expressing myself truly as an artist. Because if, you know, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, at least the world will know exactly what I wanted to say. Yeah. And if I released a song that was like whiskey, whiskey, whiskey tomorrow, and that was like my first and only song, you wouldn't know me at all.
Yeah.
So not that there's anything wrong with whiskey songs. I have some of those too.
Sure. I think everyone does.
everyone does, but yeah, I don't know. And so if anyone is out there listening and they also feel like they want to express themselves in art as an artist, and you just, you know, I hear you and I see you, and I think we have to stick together and, you know, fight for the craft and fight for our own stories a little bit too. So
yeah, I agree. And, you know, I always go back to the whole reason why this started is because I fell in love with songwriting, but I'm incapable of writing a song or holding a tune in any way. So, you know, the next best thing was for me to take a passion of conversation and a passion for music and songwriting and blend it into one. So I love that you said, I wanted to start it off as something that I'm just totally, you know, zoned in on. And this is something that, you know, maybe in 10 years, maybe you have a bunch of hits and you're like, hey, I did this. And like, even if you only get to do it once, even if you only get to release 6 songs like this once, at least you did it. Right. And I think that that's super important, because I think that, you know, like that you're right. There's a ton of people who lose that songwriting, muscle, word I'll use here, right? Because they're doing so many other things, and you know, they have a lot of these things at their disposal where they can say, like, you know, like, I may not be able to figure out what I want to say here, but I know someone else that can, and you know, we'll go that way, right? So I love that you did this now, when, you know, maybe in 5 years you can, but maybe you can, who knows, right? So I love that you're attacking this now and going for it and really showing people who you are in the words that probably mean so much to a lot of people out there, and you don't even know it yet. So I think it's great. Congratulations. I just hope this does so many great things for you and opens up so many cool doors and you know, does some awesome things. So congrats. I love it. And I hope it goes to the moon and does some amazing things, because I'm going to keep listening to it. Even if no one else does, I promise you I'm here and I'm going to keep listening to it. So awesome. When you get 100 streams a day, you know where it's coming from. River Edge, New Jersey, this guy right here.
Amazing.
It's great. And if you're listening right now, I mean, honestly, at this point, if I'm thinking ahead, if you're listening right now, it's out and you should be listening to it, and you should be sharing it and throw it on your playlist and really take time to say, okay, I'm going to listen 1 to 6, and then I'm going to decide what my favorite song is off the 6. So do that first, and then come talk to me and tell me which one you love, because, you know, I think that it's important. So Caroline, thank you for coming to hang out with me today. I appreciate it. I think you're awesome. I think you have the brightest future ahead of you. And I'm really excited to see what you got going on and in the future and you know, with these songs and everything you're going to keep on doing. And I just think that you rock. So thank you for coming to hang out with me.
Oh my gosh, you're a blast to hang out with, Kyle. Anytime you want to nerd out about the Marfa tapes, I'm here for it. Thank you so much for having me. Seriously.
Of course. Watch the documentary. Let me know what you think.
Okay, I will.
I'm interested. Everybody, you can, well, actually first, before I jump the gun here, Caroline, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you and where they can, you know, go on your social medias and you know, find announcements for songs and whatever else. So where can they find you?
Yeah. I think Instagram, I keep up with the most. My Instagram handle is Caroline on the go, CARLINE on the go. On TikTok, oh God, it's Carol Bo-Barrel. It's pretty bad. if that's your jam, you can follow along there, or CarolineKid.com. I'm, you know, still working on trying to get things polished up, but yeah, going to war with the internet is always a battle, but I'm out there. Come find me, Facebook as well. Cool. So not Twitter. I'm not on Twitter.
Stay off Twitter. It's a very toxic place.
Yeah.
Stay off Twitter.
Yeah, I couldn't keep them all.
Yeah, yeah. Stay off. I'm not. I'm on Twitter. It's a very toxic place. It really fills your head with a lot of garbage. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Everybody, this is another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. You can go listen to Caroline's music wherever you stream music. Share it with your friends. Share it with your loved ones. Share it with people walking down the street and the dog in the backyard. That's what I always say. Everybody, this is another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. And stay tuned. New episodes come out every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. We're there. Share it with your friends, like I say. That was an episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. I'm Kyle. That's Caroline Kidd. See you next week. Bye-bye now.